Welcome back to the Frothcast, a podcast about
cappuccino.
I'm your host, Hendo, and this is episode 8. This episode is a super surf nerd fantasy tech talk recapping Maui and Pipe. In addition, I ramble about some of the good and the not so good of 2020. So sit back, refract, and get farked. Aloha wasabi and excuse me, eating some chippers. 1 second. And that's kind of rude, eating chips while you're on a podcast. Yep, well, pubic hair don't care. Welcome back, my friends. I just want to say Happy New Year to everybody out there. Goodbye, 2020. Get farked and welcome, 2021. How was your New Year's? Mine? This is the first year I'm going to be honest with y'all. I didn't stay up till midnight. I had like one drink. I watched the sunset with my buddy Davino and his wife Jana on the beach at Pipeline. It was glorious. I had pizza and I passed out by 9:30.
What? What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
I don't know. I thought if maybe I did something different other than rage my ass off, then maybe I'd wake up and 2021 is filled with good vibes and no worries beef curry. But yeah, as we saw last week, that kind of didn't happen. So to address the big fat elephant in the room, first, before we get into all this, I just want to say I'm a sensitive, compassionate dude, and what happened last week at the Capitol was absolutely fucked. I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, and I'm beyond disturbed. I'm at a loss for words, but I'm trying to present everybody here with some levity, try to take your mind off the crazy world for a little bit, and let's talk surf, let's talk comedy, let's talk pizza. Let's try for a moment to step away from the news, step away from our phones, and have a good time because we're all about good vibes, chips, pizza, and weirdness here. So join me for an adventure. And to last week's events, all I have to say is you filthy, disgusting mongrels. It reminds me of a time in high school when a buddy of mine, Manielis, we were at a Vons in La Jolla, and he just let the biggest fart rip. And I don't think he knew that there was this lady close to him. And it was a stinker. And all she had to say after he just let it rip was, "You filthy, disgusting mongrel." But moving on, I am reporting live once again to you guys from the Hawaii Workshop in Wailua. Shout out to Hawaii Workshop. Check them out on Instagram. Thank you guys for hosting me. But yeah, since we last spoke, the last episode, I mean, it's taken me a moment to record this one because I was super busy with the Pipe Masters. I was buried in terabytes. To be honest, I kind of had pod block. It's kind of like writer's block where I just had all these things I wanted to say, and I kept trying to record and do an episode for y'all. But every time I stepped up to the mic, I was like B Rabbit, and nothing was coming out of my mouth. That's what somebody said. But I'm back, and I'm trying to give you guys some good vibes here. So speaking of the Pipe Masters, did you guys watch the Pipe and the Maui event? Wow. At the end of the day, there was some great shit that went down. Many challenges along the way. But you know what? We did it. And for a moment, professional surfing was back. Huge shout out to John Florence, Hawaii's very own, taking out his first Pipe Master. And another grande shout out to Australia's Tyler Wright for making historic waves and winning the first women's event at the Banzai Pipeline. Shout out to both of you guys. While we're on the subject of Tyler Wright, shout out to her and her brother, Mikey69, hold my beer right, for saving the life of an innocent woman down there at Ke'iki Beach who almost drowned. Mikey, watching it all go down, literally, if you haven't seen this video, it's all over the news, all over social media, but he just says, "Hold my beer, I gotta go." And he runs like a bat out of hell to go save this woman from the shore break. And let me tell you, that reef down there at Ke'iki and log cabins is No freaking joke. That reef is kind of like the Indiana Jones booby traps where there's freaking spears and spiders and spiky balls coming at you. That's the reef down there at Keiki Beach. And shout out to Mikey for saving that woman's life, getting it done. Good on you, brother. Okay, in other news, before the Pipe Masters, guys, I finally had a few lovely lunch meetings with our good bud, Todd Barral. It was a day before setup at the Pipe Masters, and Ayukai Beach Park was, in my opinion, as good as it can get. Not too many people out, perfect offshore winds, shoulder to head high. All you could do is backdoor these beauties, pull in, say, "Hi, Todd, how are you? Thank you for having me in your living room," and whoosh, hope that you get a little spitzky out. That was a very memorable session. So cheers to you, and thank you, Todd, for giving me that little meeting. Okay, anyways, moving onward, I just want to make a couple quick redactions from the last episode. Firstly, turns out John Elway's actual middle name is Albert. It's not David. I'm sorry about that, dude. Tell your publicist to stop calling me. I will not cease and I will not desist. Speaking of Albert, reminds me of me and my friends used to call alcohol Al or Albert. We would be on the phone and be like, "Hey, dude, what are you doing tonight?"
I don't know. There's going to be a Fat Albert up at Viewpoint. You should cruise it, dude.
Fat Albert, meaning there's going to be a keg. So, yeah, Albert. Go figure. Classic. Next redaction. In regards to fantasy, I said about the women's that it was too late to pick your teams. Turns out there's a new rule with the WSL fantasy that your teams don't actually lock until after elimination round. And actually, that paid off big time for me. And we'll talk about that later. Okay, lastly, this is not really a redaction. It's more like a follow-up to episode 5, where we talked about the Vans Triple Crown of Surfing, the Cyber Edition, and that window opened just after the Pipe contest, and there have been some incredible submissions. All the locals are freaking killing it. There has been some crazy Pipe waves, some really sick waves at Haleiwa, some pretty good ones at Sunset. Have you seen John's wave? Actually, two of his waves at Haleiwa. Out of 30 points, they're equaling a 29.4 and a 27.2. These waves were insane. There's a wave where he's going right at Haleiwa, and that first carve he does, the line that he draws at Haleiwa is something I have not seen in a long, long time. That wave was insane. Congrats, John, and congrats to everybody else out there. You still have to the 15th to submit your waves, so make sure you check that all out at VansTripleCrownOfSurfing.com. And once again, good luck to everybody. Excited to see the conclusion of that. Okay, moving on to the fantasy recap for the Pipe Masters and Maui Pro. First up, let's take this time to congratulate the winner of the Frothcast Fam Fantasy League for the first event wins. Taking a look here on the list. Let me see. Down to 5, 4, 3, 2, number one. Whoa, all the way up there. Who is it? Someone named, oh, Hendo Froth? Oh, right. That's me.
We the best! Yeah. We taking over!
We taking over. That's right, fantasy nerds. You now rock with the best. Just blaze. Gotta hate to say it, but after my run at Maui and Pipe, surprisingly, somehow, I'm sitting at 46th in the world out of 87,960 WSL fantasy surf players. But who's counting? I hate to stroke myself off. I've done a lot of that recently, but this is by far the best I've ever done in fantasy surfing. This is the highest I've ever been ranked. So I'm just going to relish in this mustard. I'm going to bask in this Robbins, and I'm going to enjoy my time in the sun for just a little bit. Just give me that, please. Okay. And anyways, you're now listening to my pod, and I'm going to give you tips to how I got so high. Hell, though, with the cancellation of Sunset and postponement of Santa Cruz Steamer Slug Lane, Let's hope for the best and let's hope fantasy comes back. Let's hope professional surfing comes back. Before we get into the tips, real quick, I'm going to shout out second place in the Frothcast fam because he deserves it. Rough Cut V1, also known as our buddy Alex. Congratulations. I hope you enjoyed the pizza. And if you're listening to this and you have yet to join my league, head your ass over to worldsurfleague.com, click fantasy, join my league entitled The Frothcast Fam. For your chance to win some dank ass pizza, some ape gloves, maybe a little bottle of lube, who knows, anything goes. We welcome you all. So, how did I get this victory and how did I get so high, you ask? Let's look back real quick and dissect what led me to the W, not the hotel. Okay, starting with Maui, first let's chat about the women's event. I told y'all better brush up on the women this year because your final score will be both men and women. What did I tell you? Now we are seeing the correlation between the people who've been sleeping and the people who've been creeping. Yeah, that doesn't really work. Okay, on the women's side for the Maui Pro, presented by Roxy, I stuck with my original lineup as heard in episode 7. And it really paid off. My team was as follows: Carissa, Steph, Sally, and Tyler. Carissa was my power surfer and actually garnered me more points than Tyler, who was the eventual event champion. So this just goes to show that this game is really based on how many points your surfers earn with heat totals. Obviously, you want your surfer to maximize scoring potential by making it into the final, but ideally you want the surfers with the highest scoring heats, and you want to choose that surfer as your power surfer. That's exactly what I did with Carissa, and it paid off. Okay, so real quick breakdown in the tiers. I had in tier A, Carissa and Steph. Carissa getting second place with a total score of 52.87 multiplied by 2, carrier 1, square root of 6.9 equals 105.74 points. She scored me so many points. Moving on, Steph lost to Tyler in the quarterfinals and she got me 27.5 points. Tier B, Sally lost to Tyler in the semifinals, getting me a total of 32.48 points. And in tier C, Tyler Wright. If you didn't pick Tyler in tier C, you are snoozing, boozing, and losing on the job. And you fire, dude. Frickin', she got me 51 total points. So the total points I had from my women's side was 216.72.69669. So thank you massively to all the women in my squad for tearing Maui a good one. And then going on to charging pipeline. And an especially massive shout out to Carissa Moore, her 9.6 on that backdoor wave where she airdropped from frickin' Count Chocula's penthouse down into the Tanya Baral, drags a quick little bobble, but she recalculated stalls and gets spit right out. Tanya said, goodbye, with a whole thing of spit just shooting her out. That was so sick to see. Despite the challenges along the way, the Maui event ended in fantastic fashion. I'm excited to see what the women do next. All right, moving on to the men's event, the Billabong Pipeline Masters, presented by Hydro Flask, in loving memory of the greatest to do it, Andy Irons. What an event was had at the Bonsai Pipeline. I mean, everybody, it seems like, minus a couple, brought their A game. And there was some crazy Todd Burrells. There were some great moments. And if you capitalized on those people who created those great moments, chances are you're sitting up in the top with me, not in the nosebleeds. So before we get into my strategy for the WSL game, let's first chat about the Surfival League. All right. So if you recall, in episode 6, I sat down with the founder and inventor of Surfival League, Taylor. He broke down the whole game to us, gave us a little bit of tips and insight. And if you weren't listening, then you were not christening. That doesn't really work. But massive shout out to Taylor and our buddy Chad Dog. This game has been a lot of fun so far. Granted, there's only been one event, but I ended up picking Jadson Andre as my pipe pick. And again, listen why. Linda, listen. If you take a look at their Instagram account at Surfival_league, you'll see that the majority of people picked tier A type of people like Kelly, John, Italo, Gabe, but ideally, my choice paid off. Although Jadson has performed well at a select few other events, I thought Pipe might be one of his better showings this year. Not only because he's a sender and he's going to throw himself over that ledge and get super Todd Burrell'd, but additionally, I was thinking in my head that it kind of would have been wasteful to blow your load on the first event with guys like Kelly, John, or Gabe, because you might actually need them down the line in the long run when you need it most. The way I see it, this survival league game is Kama Sutra or Tantra. Long days of slow-paced, smooth and sultry lovemaking. Not an Arvo quickie jamming it in and blowing your load in your pants. So please choose with your head and not with your tip. Jadson, dude, thank you so much for your froth. Thank you for making it past round three. I'm excited to play the next event wherever the hell it is. Maybe I'll tell you guys who I choose before it actually happens. Maybe not. Maybe I want that $1,000 and that surfboard. Now moving on to the WSL fantasy surf game. Let's chat about my men's team real quick, okay? My team actually didn't fluctuate all that much compared to the team that I announced back on episode 7. The only major changes for me was obviously when I heard that Owen Wright pulled out of the event because he didn't pull out of somebody 9 months ago. Oh, dog. I ended up swapping him out for our Cal, Mr. Ryan Callanan, and I also swapped out Adriano with Mikey. My one prediction about Adriano unfortunately did not pan out. In my eyes, him and Adrian, two Adrian dudes, they are very consistent and surprisingly, they make the quarters like a lot. The reason I pulled Adriano from my team was because he went into the elimination round and literally with 5 seconds left, the way that this game works, and this might be a hack that WSL hasn't thought of yet, but literally with 5 seconds left in his elimination heat, I swapped Adriano out for Mikey Wright because Adriano was literally losing. He didn't have priority. There was no way he was going to win the heat. Mikey was looking really good from the surf off, so I ended up picking Mikey. Didn't pan off so well, but that's a little hack. Like, you guys can wait. Teams don't lock until after the elimination round. So in my mind, like, there's no rule that says you can't pick somebody with seconds left in the last elimination round. So you have to watch your surfers very closely in the elimination round. If they're blowing it, swap them out ASAP. Okay, so real quick, here is my super tech nerd breakdown of my men's squad. In tier A, I had John Florence, who obviously was the event champion. He garnered a total of 69.27 points total. Multiply that by 2, carry your 7, multiply your 69. That equals 138.54 points. John was my power surfer. That's why I had that little buddler doubled. Also in my tier A was Gabe Medina. He ends up getting second place. What a final that was. He got me a total of 56.22 points. Tier B, I had Jeremy Flores, who lost to Italo in the quarterfinals, got me 30 points. Ryan Callanan lost to Italo in round of 16, got me 14.87. Seth Moniz lost to Matthew McGilvery in round of 32, only got me a total of 9 points. You know, I had high hopes of Seth and Josh Moniz. Those guys were ripping all the way up. But you know what? Sometimes the heats don't go your way. The waves don't come. And rookies like Matthew McGilvery, he really impressed me in that heat. And actually, he scored a lot of points in that heat. So that would have been a wise but super unpredictable pick. Also in my tier B, obviously, was Jadson Andre, who lost to Kanoa in round of 16. He got me a total of 21.2 points. In my tier C, I had Jack Robinson, as stated in the previous episode, who lost to Kelly in round of 16. Jack got me 29.4 points. Like, his heat totals were pretty high. And then last in my tier C was Mikey Wright, who lost to Jordy in round of 32. Mikey, surprisingly, even though he was surfing so well leading up to the actual event, he only scored me a total of 7.33 points. So unfortunately, him and Seth were my weakest points on my team. I had really high expectations that I know on any given day, both of those guys would be absolutely ripping, but that's the way the churro crumbles, right? So for my men's team, I had a total of 307.1 points. Add that with the women's team. What do you get? Hold on. All right, I just had my assistant Gunther tally up my points. Turns out my point total was 523.82. That is what it takes to be in that upper echelon. Is that what it is? Upper echelon? When you take a look at the leaderboard, the person who is in first place right now, who is Sam exclamation mark, they scored a total of 547.59. So, you know, I was roughly in that wheelhouse. I was pretty close. All right. So if none of that made sense, it was all Greek to you and it didn't stick in your head, I've got three quick takeaways that you can put in your fanny pack and save for the next time that fantasy surfing comes back. One, study up on the women. If you haven't been playing fantasy for the women in the past, now is your chance to look back at some of the events where some of these surfers have excelled. Two, choose your power surfer wisely. As we saw with Carissa and Tyler, Carissa, even though she didn't even win the event, was my power surfer and ended up getting me more points had I chosen Tyler, the event champion, to be my power surfer. So it's all about points. Take that with you. And number three, make sure you watch the elimination round like a hawk and swap out your surfer if they are blowing it. Those are my three takeaways, and that's pretty much the most tech nerdy breakdown of my fantasy team. I hope you got something out of it. If you didn't, I just wasted 20 minutes of your life. If you want it back, go ahead and send me an email. I'll see what I can do. Okay, thank you all for that. Now I kind of thought I would chat a little bit about some of my favorite things, some diamonds in the rough of the year that was kind of no good, bad, shitty, somewhat pretty weird, and overall get farked 2020. First, I just wanted to talk about my top 10 songs from my Spotify list. I'm going to name them off real quick, and I'm going to talk about the ones that really stood out. Starting at number 10, Suburban Smell by The Districts. Number 9, I'm Cutting My Dick Off by Thomas L. Kellogg, as heard in The Workaholics. Number 8, 24 Hours by Georgia. Number 7, Lost in Yesterday by Tame Impala. Number 6, Hey Joe by The Districts again. Number 5, Prologue by Luis Del Mar. Number 4, Crimean Ocean by Makua Kai Rothman. Number 3, Breathe Deeper by Tame Impala. Number 2, The Difference by Flume and Toro y Moi. And number 1, again, When Am I Gonna Lose You by Local Natives. What can I say about this list? I mean, looking at it, looks like a freaking daytime soap opera roller coaster. The emotions are going from Crimean Ocean to I'm Cutting My Dick Off. I mean, if that doesn't encapsulate 2020 in a nutshell, then I don't know what does. I really liked the album that the UK's very own Georgia put out, and namely that song 24 Hours was cool. It really reminded me of Robin style bloghouse music. Those synths hit me every time. And no surprise here, The Districts, I've been listening to them for a while, but their album that they dropped in 2020 with Hey Joe, I mean, that song was on repeat. Obviously, I talked a lot about Tame Impala in previous episodes. Local Natives is my favorite band, and that song by Flume and Toro y Moi was always really good. That's pretty much it for my top 10 of 2020 music tracks. If you want to check that out, I'm going to leave a link in the show notes and go ahead and listen your ass away. Moving on to some more stuff that was good in the year that was maybe not so good, I kind of started noticing a lot of these words being used a lot. So here are my top words of 2020. Holler if you hear me, you know that these were used a lot.
It's me, Mario.
Starting with normalcy or normalcy. How do people pronounce that? I've heard different things. Moving on to the word pivot. If you didn't pivot last year, what did you do? Cathartic. That was a big word. Cathartic made a huge comeback. And then, of course, WFH, working from home. If you haven't seen my Instagram video about WFH, check it out on my Instagram. I was really busy that day watching a video of a dog riding a horse jumping over, I don't know what he was jumping over, fences or something. But yeah, I was definitely WFH that day. Okay, moving on to a few more words. Obviously, Karen and Ken were thrown out a lot. I myself did witness a Karen in Silver Lake when I was living there, and she was freaking out at the 99 cent store saying, "I work for the news and I'm going to put you on the news." And that was a bizarre sight to see. Let's hope that there are no more Karens and Kens in the 2021. Let's hope people have learned from their entitled bullshit. Last word in top words of 2020 was the word Zoom. I mean, no matter how you call it, it's Zoom or Hangouts or Microsoft Teams, that can get farked. I do not think this belongs in the good list. We're going to get to it later. Before we get into that, I want to give a couple shout outs to the breakthrough performers of the year. Starting with the breakthrough performer of the year in surfing, I got to say, Italo Ferreira was all over the World Wide Web, just freaking showing his spinning meat hog all over the place, doing crazy airs, getting super barreled, backflips, air reverses, alley-oops, carves, tail slides, snaps, and things that I can't even name. Italo, parabéns, you freaking owned it. And on the women's side, for breakthrough performers of the year, I got to give it up to the Ladybirds, the Vans Ladybirds from the Stab High contest. These chicks, let me say, these girls, they must be ages like 10 to 13 to 15. I'm not too sure, but they are freaking psycho. They are boosting huge airs, getting super barreled in the mental eyes, and I am beyond impressed and excited to see what they do in the future. The fate of surfing, not only for just girls, but the fate overall for guys and girls lays in their hands. They are setting a new benchmark. Congratulations, you freaking Ladybirds rip. Moving on to the surfboard breakthrough performer of the year. Obviously, in the core division, it was the mid-length. I myself do not own a mid-length. I don't know what classifies a board as a mid-length. I didn't spend too much time on it. I don't know what the point is, but they were selling like hotcakes at a Cinnabon. They're through the roof. I know some friends who have them. They say that it has made surfing fun again, and that's great. I'm a huge fan of fishes and fun boards. Mid-length, you got one? Do you like it? Let me know why. I gotta maybe check one out. Next in the surfboard category, obviously this could be for better or worse, was the Wavestorm. We will check in with Mr. Mahosler to see if he got his job at the Wavestorm factory, but Wavestorms were selling like ants on a freaking log. I don't know if we've seen a year like this in a while where all kinds of surfboard sales were just through the roof. Namely, Wavestorms, as far as I understand, were sold out in a lot of places because a lot of people wanted to get outside and learn how to surf, get out there. I respect it. I love surfing. Why can't other people love surfing? Let's hope they do it with the correct surf etiquette and safety. You're not putting anybody in danger out there. Let's pray for that. And now I will play devil's advocate real quick. All of you not liking this surfing boom, look at history. History has shown us that there is always booms, ebbs and flows within surfing's popularity. Look back at Gidget and the Beach Boys. Boom, surfing's cool. Let's go surfing now. Look at what the Momentum Generation did. Boom, surfing's back on the map and cool again. These things come and go like waves, my friends. Sooner or later, when the world gets back to normalcy, people aren't going to have as much time to dedicate to surfing. Maybe a lot of people do fall in love with it, but when people have to go back to the office, surfing is going to go back down. So don't freak out. Be nice to the beginners out there. If you're a loc dog, I mean, just take a little hit of the Pocololo and chill out. I've been frustrated myself. I will admit that there's so many people surfing, but you know what? It's not going to last forever. Okay. If it does, well, you just got to buy an island or go to Kelly's ranch for $50,000. Still waiting on my invite, Mr. Slate Dog. All right. Lastly, in the food category, I suppose the breakthrough performer of the year was sourdough. As you know, I can barely make eggs. And so I did not make sourdough bread. I did not make sourdough chips. I did not make sourdough hats. But a lot of you out there did, and congratulations. It looked like a lot of fun. I hope it was good. I hope you got some probiotics in your microbiome. And yeah, sourdough, congratulations to you. I mean, excited that you're back. I wish you never left, but wheat kind of had you on the ropes for a while. And then gluten-free, farm-to-table, spa-fed wheat with organic grains and ancient grains really had you in a headlock for a moment. But you know what? Sourdough, good on you. You freaking came back and fought like a champion, and you're now on the top again. I don't get these health trends. Didn't people say like 2 years ago that sourdough was bad for you, and now they're saying it's good for you? Didn't they say that real milk is bad for you, and then they said almond, oat, coconut, and manatee milk are good for you, and now they're saying real milk is good? I don't know. I don't get it. But hey, sourdough, hats off to you. Sourdough hats for everybody. Anybody want a sourdough hat out there? I will make one and put some gazpacho in it. We can all wear it with a lot of pride. We got the sourdough hats. Okay. All right. Well, if 2020 showed us anything, it's sometimes you got to take a couple sets on the head in order to get the Todd or Tanya Burrell of your life. Obviously, there were some really bad things that year. COVID, division and tension in America, the apathy, all that quick little F you. Obviously, it's a serious thing. I hope everybody and their family and friends are safe from a lot of the events and things that transpired. I do hope that we all came out of this year learning some things about ourselves, about the place where we live, about the people around us, about the people who really matter most to us. I just hope we all came out a little bit more smartest, you know. Some of the worst shit of that year of 2020 was also the loss of a lot of fabled icons, namely Kobe Bryant, Derek Ho, John Schmoo, Van Halen, RBG. I mean, the list goes on. It is always a sad day to lose somebody who is bigger than life, somebody who's inspired you in ways that you might not know. I know me personally, Derek Ho inspired a lot of my surfing. You know, I was a big fan of his, but I know when I would watch H3O, he was getting some of the sickest pipe waves, and he inspired me with his style and the way that he just charged. A lot of the other icons had massive impacts in my life as well. So we can only hope that they are in a better place and sending us good vibes from up above. Okay, and sorry for that serious part, but hey, sometimes life is serious. And now, jokes aside, let's bring jokes back from the side, back into the game. And I would just like to say that one of the worst things of 2020 is that phone calls became video calls. I can't tell you how many times people texted or emailed me saying, hey, would love to get you on a phone call tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Like, yeah, cool. No worries. Thanks. I'm like, okay, I'm just check this out. Having not shaved, maybe not even wearing a t-shirt, I got peanut butter in my teeth. And there I was thinking, oh, cool. I've just got a phone call tomorrow. No worries. Come to find out, here's the link. So-and-so is looking forward to seeing you in a few minutes. Seeing? Since when did a phone call become a video call? So there I was, shaving, brushing my teeth, making sure I put on a nice t-shirt, ding, put it on and say, hi, good morning. Do we really need video calls, guys? Thanks a lot, Zoom, and the corporate world, get fucked, mate. All right, so there was my best and worst of 2020. What do you guys think? You got any suggestions? Did I totally botch it? Did it make any sense? Am I now a freaking Daryl? I don't know. But I do got to say one last thing that was on the top of my list is doing this podcast and the times where I felt inspired and the great feedback I got, even the constructive criticism that I got back. I really appreciate you guys listening, and I'm really hoping to continue to do this. It brings me a lot of joy, and I hope that it brings you joy in order to get out of the chaos for a bit, joke around, have a good time, learn about a couple weird froth stories, and you know, spread the good vibes and just keep things frothy. Here's to hoping for a better year, my friends. I've had a lot of fun talking with you. And you know what? I really hope to keep this going. I've got some episode ideas in the bank. I'm hoping to execute them. And I just got to hold myself accountable and freaking do it. All right. That about does it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening, putting me in your car, putting me in your stroller, on your skateboard, in your earbuds, in your headphones, from the bottom of my fart. Muchos gracias, merci beaucoup, arigato gozaimasu, muito obrigado, terima kasih banyak, and mahalos, my friends. Have a lovely day and an even more lovely evening. I'll catch you on the flip side. Bye.